It is 1:42 p.m. on May 27th, Memorial Day 2019. I'm out on Sugar Tree Trail. Haven't been out to the trail in probably a couple of weeks. I've been going through Stone Mark every day. And I realized that once I got finished with the Apostate Bride of Christ, that I've been needing a break. I have been working so hard to try to finish this, and today I'm struggling. I have practically finished the program this morning. This morning is when I posted part 34 on the Apostate Bride of Christ, which is the part where I have a conversation with Persis and confront her on recognizing that her love for me is dead and that our marriage is over. So that happened on April 16th. It just so happens that I got to the place of posting it this morning by 9:30 a.m. It was up. I started working at 6:30 at Starbucks this morning and got parts like 32, 33, and 34 up. And on my way home, I just quickly thought, I was like, wow, April 16th, today's May 27th. I thought, my goodness gracious, that's exactly 40 days. Yesterday was the end of the 40th day since I made the recording about our marriage being dead. And I combined it with the recording where I went and spoke to Persis and told her that I wanted her to know that she's free to go, but that I am very, very hurt and very upset at her and disappointed in her for walking away from Christ, walking away from me, walking away from everything that God has given us. And so today, to realize that that was exactly 40 days, I did think, I mean, nothing significant has happened yet except for the fact that I was able to get that up there today. So that's pretty remarkable, especially, you know, when I reflect back on the 40s and 7s in the marriage process. But I ended up going home, talked with my parents for a little bit. I seemed to be okay. And I laid down, I think. I laid down to listen to the scripture for a little while. I actually, what I did is I watched a video by Jason A. on this DMT chemical that's being abused by people for psychedelic reasons, and they're seeing the spirit world and all that stuff. And then I ate while I was watching that. I sat down in my mom's chair and started feeling a little tired, like I wanted to relax. I was going to come home and go straight out for a prayer walk, but I decided to sit down a little while and I listened to the Bible for a little bit. And at some point, I don't remember before or after, I checked my email, and there was this email that came in. It came in from a lady named, and the subject is, "I understand fully what you're going through." This message came in at 10:05 a.m., so basically 30 minutes after I left putting up this final part. It says, "Hello, Brother Michael. If you feel comfortable with it, I would like to get in touch with you as soon as possible. I personally have been through a lot, and that's because of my sincerity in Christ and living in His love, in His peace with everybody. But nevertheless, I still went through a very deep hurting moment when finding that my husband, who knew better, was living in sins against God and against the family. He was involved with other women, which eventually broke up our family life. It was so devastating. But keep trusting the Lord that though people are liars, cheaters, and deceivers, it will surely pull them away from the Christly walk. But knowing and remember that He will always be there for you no matter what. For He Himself remains faithful and true always at all times. Maybe the Lord can use me to give you encouragement in the right direction. No matter what, please keep the Lord to be first in your life. You will never be disappointed. I have seen your mom That tells me she's from Europe, I think. In one of your clips, she seems to be a nice person, and be thankful to God that you have such a wonderful mother to be there for you, to support you. You and your family are in my prayers. I also understand the situation of your wife, Persis, where she is coming from. If you would allow me to give a piece of advice. My advice is to you is not to retain Persis any longer. The devil will try to hurt, to destroy your soul and your heart apart through her. She is being used by the devil to crush and ruin you even the more. She might not be knowing this or be aware of this herself. But as she is giving in to those fleshly and longing for those spirits of infirmity to fill up her heart, she is being used as a channel to get at you and take you away from God's purpose. My advice is to wish her all the best and let her depart so the devil will not bind and crush you even the more. Let her go and do not let her cause more harm to your personal walk with God. For if she is not for you, she is working against you. And forgive her. She is already enslaved by whatever she feels is catching her spiritual attention. But let her go as fast as possible for your own good, so you may focus on your calling and standing in the gap, praying for your children's salvation. Do not waste your precious time into bondage and slavery through her, playing on your feelings and good intention and sincerity. Give it up quick, brother, so you will not hurt yourself the more. Forgive, let go, and be at peace. As I said, you are most welcome to get in touch with me as a friend in Christ. It will be my pleasure to be of any assistance to help you go through this rough moment. My blessings to your mother, sincerely in Christ. So, I received this email and I'm suspicious of it. Although I know a lot of people mean well, but I'm very suspicious anytime a person sends me an email like this where I can tell they haven't listened to enough of my recordings to know that I've been standing on my own with God's help, fighting in faith for years, holding on to Him and clinging in faith as an example to other people. And God has kept me. And so when I see somebody encouraging me from a position where they feel like if they don't say these things to me, or that God needed them to say this to me to keep me from falling, or what have you, I'm always very suspicious of that. So that's number one. Number two, the fact that this email comes in 30 minutes after I posted a message that I basically was quitting. It was called, you know, quitting and apologizing for trying to save Persis. And I think it was like giving up and apologizing to God and Persis for trying to save it all. And it was this recording that I made where I was basically going, I literally went to Persis and I apologized and I said, listen, I want to apologize to you. I meant well, but I tried too hard to be the savior of your heart. I tried too hard to save you from falling away. I tried too hard to save you from falling out of love with me. I tried too hard to save you from walking away from Christ, the marriage, and all of this. And I said, you know, forgive me. And it was this idea of being willing to let God take from me whatever He wants to take from me and not death gripping Persis so much and just letting her go, and how hard that's been for me to do. Because, you know, everything in me, you know, you want to fight and don't let the devil take this and so forth and so on. So, but at the same time, I've been believing for resurrection. I've been believing that God is going to turn this around. And I have just found all of a sudden that after reading this email, doubts came into my mind. And see, I know that that has to be from the devil, even if this lady means well. It has to be that it's creating doubt. It's like, I'm the one saying I had given up the fight for my wife. I'm not giving up on God fighting for her. I'm giving up on me fighting for her. And I do recognize that I don't fully understand what God's doing. Many times I have thought God was going to do something and then He does something totally different and I find out I was wrong. the way I end up finding out a lot of times what God's plan and will is just by waiting enough time until it comes to pass. But I can think of multitudes of times where I've said in recordings, I bet this will happen, or perhaps God is doing this, and that's not what he was doing. And so that's always very humbling to hear that. At the same time, I can say I've at least had the spiritual, you know, insight to stay put. I don't take action on those things until I know that I know that I know. You know, an example would be, God, what's going on with New Zealand right now? I mean, that is so bizarre. You know, I'm even having doubts again. I find myself having some doubts again now about Texas. Like, why would you show me New Zealand so hot and heavy, and then all of a sudden start changing me to go to Texas? And I started thinking, you know something, what if Satan is the one who made those people come there with those Texas license plates to get me to give up on faith for New Zealand? What, I mean, he's in charge of power. What, I didn't see any scriptures. I kind of perhaps concluded some things, and I'm going, what if I did that? What if in a moment of weakness where I'm struggling in this marriage situation and tell my story, I'm already vulnerable. What if this Texas thing, just seeing a bunch of license plates, and I even had told the Lord, I said, Lord, it's got to be something more than just seeing license plates. And like the next day, I saw like five of them. You know, and then really what the icing on the cake was for me is when, you know, these three Texas license plates showed up in one day. One showed up one time, and then another one, three of them showed up, and I'm going, you know something, the devil could do that. He can move people around. And I've been a little perturbed thinking about that. Like, you know, is it kind of like this email I'm getting now that's creating doubt just about letting Persis go? Because, you know, I mean, I'm in the house with her, and she is still just such a dead person. It's so hard for me to lay down in the other room and take a rest this morning, knowing that, you know, my dead wife is living in there, and you know, having feelings of, you know, missing her, wanting to be with her, knowing that I can't. And that is, that's really, it's been frustrating. And I've had, while I was laying there trying to take a rest, all of a sudden I have these thoughts coming into my mind about having a different wife. I'm not walking into you, Mr. Spider. Making a web right here in the middle of the trail, and I just missed him. And I started having just thoughts, like, you know, of, gosh, what, you know, it's just weird. Like, I don't want another wife, but these thoughts came into me, like, am I supposed to, I guess, you know, try this again? And the thoughts of, you know, what would it be like to have a wife who actually would help me with things? A wife who was not just always showering me with kisses, but who would actually participate in life and in spirituality and my Christian walk with me and be a part of the ministry. And I a helpmate, a true helpmate. And then immediately I think, God, if I married again, I would be ruined. A guy who's been married three times, even if a guy was married and lost two of his wives through physical death, it would be hard for people to not look down upon a guy who'd been married three times, even if he had been widowed both times. And I think it would become a real stumbling block to my witness. And I've just been out. This all just started getting on me. Doubts and, you know, thoughts of, you know, remarrying and all that stuff, and just the throwing away of everything, and the reality of what this lady is saying seems to be a bit true, that in some way the devil has done nothing but try to stand against me through my wife. But I also have to recognize that I have seen how much good has come from this, that I know God is sovereign, that as a man of God, that if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, whatever happens to me, God allows it. Now, Persis has free will. She can choose whatever she wants. But I think God somehow or another, I know that God has factored that in. That God can use a person's free will choice to open up the door to Satan to be used as a useful tool in his hands in the life of his servant. I believe this. So at the end of the day, I always come back to God is in control of this. And I look at how much good has come out of this. You know, this lady's email, I really believe, is a cleverly timed very cleverly worded. It sounds kind. It sounds nice-hearted. It sounds like, oh, I care about you, brother. You know, don't let the devil use her to stand in your way. All this sounds great, but what it does is it comes and it puts little doubts. Yeah, that's what I'm finding. Yeah, little doubts like, yeah, maybe I really do need to just hurry up and get her gone because, you know, she really is standing in the way. And here it is. I've just put up a message that said, okay, let's say God removed this thorn from my flesh just a week previous to this certain message I made. Where would come the lesson I just learned? And if Persis were gone, and if God was pleased to remove her from my life at any time sooner than he may or may not do, where would be the lessons I've had right now of learning how to love somebody who's dead, who gives me nothing in return, literally nothing but heartache? Where would that long suffering and patience lessons come from? I mean, I would be foolish to think that, or to try to say that it's not appealing to think about having, you know, a new wife, a different wife who would actually just do some of the basics with me. So, I mean, I don't know who would not want that, especially after you've been through what I've been through with two wives that, for the most part, have left me with nothing but misery in the actual relationship. And there again, I have to balance this out with God has used both of them to help make me into a man who can follow God, a man who can deny himself. But I feel this temptation coming from this email. The timing of it is spectacular. And I started feeling those thoughts and I'm like, I got to get off this couch. I'm laying here being harpooned in my mind. And I want to get up and get off this couch and I want to go pray. And so I've had to come out here and pray. And I've again cried out to Father in prayer. It's the only way I can survive these things. I cannot do this on my own. I need Father's grace and I need his help. And he has been so faithful to help me. And I just said, God, I need you to help me, Lord. I'm feeling weary. You know, I've fought so long and hard to get this work done. It's almost done. And I just found myself with so many thoughts. I feel like I need a vacation. I feel like I need to take a break from all the comments. I need to take a break from emails. I need to take a break from doing work. I hope the Lord will allow me to take a break because I'm feeling like I need one. That I have worked my hiney off. I've produced 7 videos in the series Trusting God in Crisis. This is like, I told somebody, it's like the equivalent of producing 4 or 5 documentary videos. I've done this in the last, you know, this last year. It's been unreal how much work has been produced. 7 videos in Trusting God in the Crisis. I think almost all of them are probably about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. 21 videos in Walking with God into the Impossible, all of them around an hour, 50 minutes or so. I'm now on part 34 in this series, The Apostate Bride of Christ. I have had to listen to so many recordings and make so many edits to cut things out that I've repeated or cut my constant snorting and coughing and all that sinus stuff out of there and trying to remember what's already been said because many times I repeat myself and man, has it been hard. And I've just kept pressing in and pressing in. God help me, God help me, just help me get this done. And I'm basically done. I'm basically am to the part where I may share another 2 or 3 videos where I explain that I went through 2 weeks of sorrow once I released her and realized her love and the marriage was dead. And then I've had this rest after that and a peace. And then I started seeing promises for resurrection. It was showing up in all my devotionals and so forth and so on. But I was laying there and I've just been having so many thoughts come, like trying to rob me of this peace and rest that I've had. You know, again, like thinking about New Zealand, like, God, why would you push me so hard to believe for New Zealand and then now at the last minute turn me back to Texas? And, you know, I haven't really thought much about it. I've just been like, well, you changed my heart to, you know, towards going back and seeing Jared and Kristen and giving me excitement to go back and see them. And, you know, Isabella has been praying so much that we would get to meet. And so maybe I'm supposed to do that and so forth and so on. And, you know, I just said, God, I need some time. And I feel like what I need to do is I feel like I need to take my paper Bible and a notepad. And I need to go somewhere for a couple of days, maybe to Chattanooga or somewhere, and spend a few days doing nothing but relaxing. I really feel like I need some time with Abba, away from my parents, away from my wife. I need to go be alone and not just an hour here on the trail. I feel like I need to go just go back into the Bible and do some deep, long study and shut everything off and be willing to be disappeared to where nobody can get in contact with me. If something goes wrong with Persis, my parents need to help. And unfortunately, my parents are leaving for an entire month in 7 days. So if I'm going to do something, I need to do it this week. And because they don't want me to leave Persis by herself at that house. And I, quite honestly, I wouldn't want to, but, you know, it's going to be tough, you know, being with my wife with no other life. I've at least had a little bit of life and conversation with my parents, and it's been a little bit of a distraction, but it's going to be tough being alone again with my wife where we're not even talking to each other, and they're going to be gone for 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, I've done it before. We did this many times in our house, and, you know, but... Wow, it's just tough, and I'm feeling, it's like I'm not feeling in despair, but I'm definitely feeling weary again. I'm definitely feeling like I'm having a hard time concentrating. My mind is jumping around on all kinds of thoughts. You know, I start thinking about, like, you know, the Texas thing, and was I really supposed to take the house off the market? You know, have I really messed up? Have I just failed on the faith for New Zealand where God was telling me to, you know, prepare and go to New Zealand, and did I just give up? Was it just like, okay, this is something that's good and it's a change? I mean, is this something I was wanting to see happen so that maybe it would help throw a loop into Persis's darkness journey? You know, I mean, I have to be so careful. That's why I almost feel like I just need to go get away with God for a couple of days and not dare check any emails or nothing, and just say, to heck with it. If you're in trouble, so be it. I can't help you. I'm gone. That's what I feel like. I feel like I got to get away. And I've asked the Lord, please get me through today, because today's feeling like a tough day. And, you know, this is what happens when I get stirred up and my mind is loosed from peace. The devil's been working on me while I've been laying there, and I'm just tired. You know, from allergies, and I'm tired from the work. And again, I'm not in despair. I don't feel crisis, but this is really how I'm feeling. I have days like this where a good way to explain it would be that I had a thought and I said, Lord, even the idea of grabbing a hold of some of my favorite anchoring scriptures feels bothersome to me. Like, God, I've been doing this for so long, like I'm tired of it. If that's a real thought that came into my head, a real thought of like, Lord, I'm tired of trying to keep going back to these same scriptures and anchoring in them. How long am I going to have to do this? How long do I have to keep trying to cling to, you know, your word in these sentences in the Bible, God, in order just to get through a certain day? And I said to the Lord, I said, Father, I know you're probably not going to be willing to do this, but God, if you wanted to give me a break for a while, and allow something to break loose. I mean, I told the Father, I can see how I can fall away from the faith. How I could have moments where if God doesn't keep me, I could so easily fall away from faith in Christ and just say, this is just too hard. There's just too much suffering. I can't catch a break. You know, it's like I am being worn down in some ways. And I can see so clearly how... at any given point in time, God could easily allow one or two other things in my life that would break me. That keeps me so humble when I realize that. It's something I wish I could explain to people more, that I know how weak I am. I look so strong to people. I'm strong only in the Lord. If He takes away His grace, if He allows me to have a day like today where I'm feeling it all, I quickly become nothing. It's only by His grace that I can stand. And I can see, I can feel the ability in me to want to say, you know what, this is just enough. I have been suffering for so long. It's worth it for me to have a little bit of pleasure in this life, a little bit of comfort. This whole thing of just constant suffering is for the birds. I'm done. And I don't want to say that. I realize I had to look at that scripture again. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4:17. These momentary and light problems are producing in us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. And I read that scripture and I was like, God, it's not getting to me. It's not touching my spirit like food. I need You to help me. I need You to help me, Lord. I can read that, but I can't feel that. And I'm not able to eat it. I'm not able to benefit from it right now. So I'm going to ask the Lord. I'm going to shut the recording off. I'm going to ask the Lord if He would be pleased to allow me to go take some days. I think I'm just roasted from all the work. I've been working my honey off. Even my mama said, Mom, ask me. Tell me when the last time you saw somebody that worked this hard, 7 days a week. She goes, well, yeah, I think I've only ever seen you take off a day here or there. And again, God's given me the strength and the power to do it. But now that the work is done, I feel like it's time for me to be pruned some more. Granted, I don't want to take myself off. I don't want to cut my own vine. God help me in Jesus' name.